Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for those having difficulty or struggle. And Lord, it feels like there are more and more who need love and compassion in the world and around us. Lord, guide us to appropriate action, which is pleasing to you, Lord. Lately, we have had events that have caused both concern and extra efforts for us to be prepared for the believers and the non-believers. And have you noticed that we are guided by God's Holy Spirit? We certainly are. Oh, a few days ago, a brother asked me about a big event in my life. And when I answered him, I told him what I did. And his quick reply was, "Did you do that or did God do that?" Yeah, instantly I acknowledged the working of God and His Holy Spirit. And that was a good and gentle lesson for me. And I could understand that I was thinking of me instead of God's Holy Spirit. Well, over and over in life, there are choices that we make as we walk down a path, and it is presenting our own self-importance, and we are to acknowledge the great presence of God in our life. And yes, we make choices every day as we walk down His path of life. Even with the economic issues and the natural disasters happening all around us, we know that God is with us, and we must acknowledge Him with thanksgiving for all the things that He does for us and blesses us. For without God's watching over us, we can only imagine how difficult things would become. We recognize His love and guidance, and we are thankful that we don't follow our own ideas all the time. There are statistics around, and some of them apply to us and some of them don't. We want to be careful with what we do, but we also know that in this world around us, there is a bunch of people who don't take good care of their finances, and the credit card debt is increasing, and about 9% of the credit card debt is now delinquent. And same for the car loans. About 9-10% are delinquent. And yeah, that's not such a great big number by percentage, but if you look at the thousands of people who are delinquent, it just makes you pause and wonder, where are we going as a country? Are we in charge of the situation? Are we in charge of making the loans that we have made and agreeing to pay them accordingly? Well, yeah. You wouldn't say God was responsible for the loans that we made, would you? No, He didn't make the loans. He did not create a problem. It's what we have done to go into the money system and agree to this and that, and then we just might get in a little bit of trouble, just like the loans and the credit card charges are growing in delinquency, and we want to make sure that we are not in that area of delinquency. Not easy to do. We have more and more pressures on each person and each family, and we want to follow godly wisdom as we go through life. Probably the Bible has, it has a whole lot on the subject of money. It might be the largest subject. I'm not sure. I've never really counted the pages, but I do see that it has been and is a big issue in the Bible and how we live. It's one of those things. it's quite a challenge when we try to apply biblical wisdom to our everyday life, but we live so much better when we do. The Bible is full of good and practical wisdom. It has wisdom about money and many other subjects, but we might not be easy to follow it because, often enough, the biblical wisdom shows us that we are to deny ourselves. And nobody wants to do that. We want to say we want what we want, and even we're going to get what we want. So it's a big challenge to follow, yes, God's wisdom, the biblical wisdom, instead of our own feelings, our own wants, and our own desires. And we have examples of this all the time, both in life and in our society. There are people who want what they want, and they're going to pursue it. But it is always better when we follow God's direction, God's wisdom. It comes right out of the Bible. And we have rewards on earth and rewards in heaven when we deny ourselves and we say yes to our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, even there is a path to heaven. And if we deny ourselves and serve God, well, that's what we are to do. Matthew 7:13 tells us there is a broad way, which some Bible versions call a highway, and it leads to hell. And few there be that find the path to eternal life, which is another way of saying heaven. Well, we keep hearing Christian people talk about heaven and hell. Of course, it is a subject that has been going on for a long time, and it will continue. So we can listen to what a person or a pastor has to say about heaven or hell, but I think we are better off when we seek God's Word, the Bible, to understand what is going on with heaven and hell. I think of the second half of Matthew 7:13, and it says that we will find eternal life if we walk on the narrow path. And we get to try to understand the Bible themes. They are all pretty consistent. No, they're very consistent. And it's a matter of putting our understanding to the words that are in the Bible so that we understand everything that we possibly can. Lord, thank you for the understanding that we do have. And I do find it helpful to pray before and after I read the Bible. And as I try to think about things in life, I still say, Lord, guide me, show me, and let me be faithful to you, Lord. I do think of the people who want to remind us that we are going to heaven. And one of the big passages they talk about is Romans 10:8, 9, and 10. And that reads, let's see, 8. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And of course we believe this. It's right there in the Bible, Matthew 7:13. Right in there, there is a talk about the narrow gate and the wide gate that leads to destruction. It's clear in the Bible. It talks about what there is, and because there is a narrow gate and the way is difficult, which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Yes, we want to be one of those few that find the path on the narrow path to glory, to life, to heaven. And yes, it is written in our Bible that we are to believe all of it because it's in the Bible. The Bible has shown itself to be true, and we are so thankful that God has given us His Word. And it's a good idea to read all of God's Word and not just a few verses here and there. We are thankful for the entire Bible, and we can grasp the nature of God as we are familiar with the Bible and the holiness of God and the words in the Bible, and how we want to stay faithful until the end. Matthew 24:13 says, "He that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Saved from hell. And thank you, Lord. Revelation 21:8 says it pretty clearly that, briefly, the fearful and the unbelieving, and that includes the people who have one of these sins, like being unfaithful or a liar, or even not brave. These people will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. So we have the ideas all along here and there, and we certainly don't want to be a part of that second death. We're all going to die sometime, but we don't want to be a part of the second death. So we search out Jesus and have every way that we can understand to be faithful to Jesus. And I know we get all sorts of talk, many times a day if we listen to Christian radio, or on Sundays even, and surely the talk is in the Bible. And you might want to ask, are you going to believe the Bible? The whole Bible? And how do we make sense out of the things which seem to say it different, one thing different from the other? Well, as I have done my study, I have found that the Bible is completely consistent, and there is no misunderstandings in it if you search out the understanding about what is here and there and how it applies. How do we apply the truth of God's Word to our own life? And Jesus is the Word of God and the Word of truth. John 1:1 and John 1:14 talks about Jesus being the Word. And yeah, it's so very easy for you and me, or really to any of us, to get caught up in what is around us, to get caught up in the world. It's easy to do. But God gives us a way of seeking Him and understanding the truth of God. And it's in the Bible. So let's study the Bible and find out how we can apply it in our own life. I think of our life. I think of the feelings and sensations we have. And just think back to the time when we were a baby. Now, maybe we won't have it in thought, but we can understand how babies relate to the world on a limited basis. It starts with just a comfort or discomfort, hot and cold, hungry or tired. And that is how babies relate to the world. And as we get older, we have a discernment for the spiritual aspects of life, of God, of the love of God, and the righteousness of God. So we get more understanding as we get older, and we make things understood about the choices we have. The choices. Now, you know, as a child, children have a choice of a few things, and they are asked about what they want. Like, do you want vanilla or strawberry ice cream? Do you want jelly beans or chocolate? We ask children these questions all the time, and it turns us into thoughts about what the world has to offer. And we want to also talk to our children about the spiritual truth of God and how this is essential all through life. It's a part of learning that greater truth that there is right in front of us. And certainly it's in the Bible, and certainly it is in the world when we learn about the goodness of God and the things about evil, like the devil. And these things have existed for thousands of years. There have been evil rituals that have existed. Oh, and really they still do. It's just in a different way. See, in ancient cultures, even among the Hebrews, there was the killing of babies in the fire. And today, there is also a way of burning babies with chemicals that cause abortions. See, so in a way, it doesn't change, and in a way, it is ever so different. But you can look at the things that are similar, or you can look at the things that are different, and you can see that it's both correct. The same and different. So we have the things that are similar. Well, speaking of the burning, it makes me think of the Celtic culture where there is a burning man of wicker. It is really a human sacrifice because people were tied to that wicker image of a man made out of wicker, and then it was lit on fire and the sacrifices were burned alive. So it just, the theme goes all the way through, from burning adults and burning the wicker man or burning the babies. Oh, and if you think about the war that goes on today, there are chemicals that burn people also. It's just one of the things that we face because it's in our world today. In warfare, people burn. And we can listen to the documents or read the documents on the military. Speaking of that, The burning of the men in the wicker statues made by the Celts was first observed that we know of in Britain, and Julius Caesar recorded it. So there are things that go on, and they still go on today. It's just in a different way. And somehow we have the mysteries that go on. We have things that we don't know of or don't think of, but there are electronic weapons and chemical weapons, and they also do burning, which is a really difficult way to deal with life and death. Well, it's a part of warfare that people are killed, but there is another element of suffering that seems to go on in warfare and in sacrifice of people. So, is this the devil doing it? Is this God allowing it? Is this people who do it to one another? Yes, all of it. And we have things going on in a more mild way when we have the powers of the corporation going out and getting materials in the world. Sure, like lithium or gold or other minerals. And they have children that are doing the mining, and sometimes it is just treacherous and so much work. And still, the corporations, of course, help it along so that they will get the riches from it. It's quite a world all around us, and we get to figure out what part we have in it. Are we participating in the pain to people when we buy lithium batteries? I have to say, yeah. And I hear people tell me, well, God knows my heart, and my heart is not to hurt people. Well, yes, but we still have the reality of life. And yes, we love God and we love our neighbor. And so how do we deal with the life that is in front of us? There's lots of issues. There's lots of hope and lots of suffering. And we have to pull things out of the understanding from ancient days. Oh, I think of, well, that thing about fire just made me think of Aaron's calf. Oh, remember in Exodus 32, Moses came along and said, why did you build this calf? And Aaron said, well, it came out of the fire. Well, the Bible themes repeat, and we get to figure out how these things will interact with our life. And what will humans do? What is the nature of God or the nature of human beings? And what about the behavior that we all do? Well, we are all developing an understanding and developing life in the midst of all the things that are going on. It's human, and it's been on Earth for many, many years, hundreds and thousands of years, too. I know there's the evolutionists that promote the idea that humans have been on Earth for millions of years, and to think like that changes your concept of two things. One is humanity and what it goes through. The other is about our concept of God. Did God create man, or did man evolve? Well, that's one of the considerations that is going on today. Do we have a young Earth or an old Earth? And when we think of people who present the young Earth, like Ken Ham and Kent Hovind, oh, there's other people too, but those are the best known people who talk about the Earth being young, as in 6,000 years old. And what a difference it is to think of the Earth as being millions and millions of years old. Well, if you consider the Earth to be millions of years old, it takes away from the concept of God created the Earth, and God created the people and the animals and the plant life in Earth. So we have a little something going on here where it's a contest between God and Satan to form our beliefs. Did God create the Earth, or did another force of nature create the Earth? Well, one of the things about the evolutionary idea is that the presentation of that idea goes along with only the strong survive, and the strong will kill and claw their way to the top in order to live and in order to be successful. That is a part of the evolutionary theory. And so, if that part of evolution is correct, there are things that cannot be correct about the Bible. So it's a concept that is, well, each of the two concepts are opposed to each other. Did the Earth and man develop from mud? Or did God create man? Yeah, from mud or the dust of the earth. Well, it sure makes a difference as to how we treat each other if our fellow human being is simply mud, or if our fellow human being is to be loved like our neighbor. as God loves our neighbor and God loves us. So the concepts are very important if we embrace evolution or if we embrace God creating the earth, the people, the first people, and the animals and the plants, the water and the air, all of it. So it impacts our life today with how we live and how we relate to one another. And we have all sorts of things going on in the world, in the United States, in very many countries, and we get to figure out how do we relate to the troubles that are going on. Of course, we look at the world and we do see troubles because there are many troubles. And is it a matter of a natural processing that is going on? Is it natural to have these problems? Or is it something that the devil encourages? Does Satan encourage the bad things, the evil things? Well, it's a big question, isn't it? We have a natural process going on, yes, but what is the basis of that natural process? Is it God? Did he set it into motion? Yeah. And why do we have consequences anyway? Are the troubles in the world a matter of the consequences of sin and disobedience? And therefore, will we have troubles? Will we have judgment? Are we going to honor God as we go through life? Or are we going to let the circumstances unfold in front of us that we have no good idea about what will happen? Well, maybe you do. But the thing is we have a choice to make. Are we going to choose God or choose the so-called science of the world? We have that same question happen a lot. Did God create our bodies perfect, or are there some things that could be improved? Like, should we take injections, for instance, to make our body more resistant to some kind of a bug or a virus or something? It's a matter of, did God create us good, or do we need improvement? It's always a question, and we all have different ideas about it. And certainly the establishment, the medical establishment or the educational establishment, has ideas to direct us for this and that in this world. In this world, it is, according to evolution, it is a dog-eat-dog world. So are we going to kill to survive, or are we going to choose the lovingness of God through Jesus Christ in the world? Well, love creates more love. We know the love of God, and we give that love of God to other people. Similarly, when you choose a world that is in conflict with each other, and the strong survive, then there is something other than love. So we have a choice to make as we go through life. What is being taught to our children too? Evolution is being taught on the mass media. Evolution is being taught in the schools. And it is as though there can be no other answer. But there is another answer, and there's some very smart people who talk about it, like Ken Ham and so we get to figure out what are we going to do when we hear the different positions. Yes, I could say arguments, that's okay. We have the things that are talked about by Ken Ham and Kent Hovind, and other people too. But the thing is we have to listen to the arguments and evaluate what we hear. it's not just a matter of feeling, it's a matter of emotional understanding and intellectual understanding. And a part of that lovingness is God loves us and we are in the world. We are to love each other. Now, there's a mix of all sorts of things in the world. There is both God and evil. There is all good and hate. That is talked about in different ways in the Bible, and we see it and experience it as we go through life. And we get to consider the concepts here and consider what it means to be either loving or innocent, and do we protect that, or do we be the evolutionary creature that just thinks about surviving? Well, there are big events going on in the world, and quite a few people are looking at how to survive and if they need to be violent to one another. It's a question which we get to confront, and I hope you do that before you ever need to react strongly or with violence upon people. Now, sometimes that is the answer. We're in the world, but not of the world. And sometime danger comes our way, and it is up to us to deal with what is right in front of us. It can be real, and it can be dangerous to the people around us, whether they be innocent or weak or just need a little help. And sometime we can do something to deter, to make the evil go away. And sometimes the evil stays right in front of us and wants to fight. It's hard to figure out what will actually go on as we face the situations in front of us, right in front of us. But we know we want to preserve our relation with God, Jesus Christ, and we want to be ready to protect the innocent. It might be a child, a middle-aged person or elder-aged person, anything. But we might have to stop some kind of a violent act that is right in front of us. And we will want to do that and live in a good and godly way. Sometime we just have to look at reality in front of us. And maybe there is no alternative except to deal with that reality of the violence that is in front of us. And then, yeah, we have to do something. We have to, we want to, so that we can protect the innocent. Or maybe it's to protect ourselves so that we can continue to live. That's a part of life, and we have to confront the violent when it is appropriate. Violence is happening all over the world. And sometime we can't say, I'll call the police, because the police might not be available. And there's that old saying of the police being minutes away when seconds count. It's something which we all have to deal with differently, but let us remember that danger is real and violence is real. And sometime we can walk away from it, and occasionally there's nothing we can do except to fight back against evil, to preserve us and our bodies, and or maybe the innocent. So we want to be prepared to look at what is in front of us and how to deal with it. I mean, one way is to run away, and that's a good way. It is good to avoid evil. It is good to avoid violence. But it's not always what is right to do. And sometimes all we can do is strongly oppose violence, oppose damage that would happen to people. We just have to know that what we are facing could be very real, and we have to look very closely at it. Look what is going on around us. Around us. No, that reminds me of the weather events around us. That reminds me of the hurricanes around us. And there are a few. Oh, yes, they are making big changes in the lives of people. The water damage is very great. There are cars and houses getting washed away. People too. There are tornadoes that are coming right along with the floods, the hurricanes, and they are really causing great damage. So some things we have a way that we can be protected from, or to help people that have been damaged by the natural disasters. And sometimes there is just nothing we can do. It's going to be different all the time, but we have to look with reality at what is actually in front of us. Are the hurricanes going to get what we are, where we are? Are the tornadoes going to destroy what we have? Now, we have survivors that tell stories, terrible things, about the destruction of homes, of cars, of everything. And they tell us that there's no water to drink after the floods come through. And there's no food, and the people are suffering and cold. And we get to figure out how do we help people to pick up the pieces of their life after such a destruction has come through the middle of their town, the middle of their life, the middle of their farm. Yes, pick up the pieces, but oh, it's not easy. There are a lot of pieces to pick up, and sometimes there are animals or people in the ditches or stuck in the trees, and sometimes the smell of decay is so bad that I don't know what we do. Cover our noses, have something that makes our nose less sensitive to smell? Maybe. It's going on in the world right now. There are things going on which we can have a little bit of help and patience with. We can help people. We can have patience with the situation around us. There's bridges out, there's highways that have been closed, roads that have been destroyed. Oh, and that's something that we ought to consider for what happens if we do have a real emergency in our neighborhood. How are we going to get from one place to the other if the roads are destroyed or the bridges and pass overpasses, underpasses are destroyed? It's a matter of knowing your area and getting from one place to the other when there is destruction going on, when there are people that need help. It's not going to be easy, and somehow we have these things to do. And it's not just hurricanes, tornadoes, and floods that are going on. There's fires as well. On one end of the country, there are tornadoes, hurricanes, and floods. On another part of the country, there are big, huge fires going on. This is a true reality of what life is about right now for many people in the country. And we want to be able to help them. And to help people, it means we have to have a supply so that we can give them from our abundance. Is our abundance in food or clothing or money or time? There are different ways to help people, and we want to do that as we go through life. A part of that is by getting God's understanding. We invite God into our life, and then we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what is going on and what we can do to help others. That's a part of life. We help other people. We want to. We love other people. We want to prepare for the things that could happen in our life and in our world. There are always basics we can have, the basic things of life: water, food, and warmth. There is community. There is having a Bible and a hymnal. It's always different for what we do, and there will always be losses going on. Look at the fires. I lost a lot in the fires too. It's very hard to get through, but we do. We get through it, and we go through life, and we are devoted to God, Jesus Christ. Fire losses. Well, many people will have a part insurance, not a full insurance, for their fire losses and their flood losses. And I understand that, me too. The insurance didn't work for me. So the insurance companies are going to do everything they can to take advantage of the people who need help. I don't know what the government is doing, but there's a great big question and problem about what's going on. And we all have individual needs, and we will find that our storehouses are good to have. Now, in the fires that have gone on in my neighborhood, plenty of people had their storehouses, their food and supplies destroyed by fire. And some of them said, "What good is this anyway? Why should I bother having anything?" And you know, those people went to other places nearby, friends, relatives, another city, and they found out that the other people had a storehouse of food and goods, and they shared their food and goods with the people who got out of the fires or the floods. And so it's something that we all want to have, a little bit of water, food, and warmth. And you will have different things that you want too. It's different for everybody. Some people will think about, school supplies, medical supplies. They will think about something that you are not thinking of, hammer and saw, or something or other, a drill, screws to put things together. Everybody has a different idea about what they can do. But we are going to have things, they've always come up through history. It could be a Hurricane Helene, or it can be anything, floods, fires, all of it. And there are going to be people who are going to oppose what is around. They're going to say, "You don't need help. We don't have anything to help you with." And there are going to be, here I am thinking of a town in Florida, Florida, where the chief of police said, "We are going to confiscate guns and not sell any ammunition or any guns because we don't want any violence around." Well, there's two sides to that, isn't there? Because firearms can be a protection, or they can be an offensive aggression. So we have these things which, it's just a question. And how do we deal with this? I don't know. But you have to know that when there is an emergency situation, things just change. And we do want to put our hope in God, not in man. If we put our hope in either a man or the situation around us, well, I think of Matthew 6:25 that addresses that, and it says, "Don't put your hope in man, rather put it in God." And that's something which we learn these lessons from the Bible and then try to figure out how to understand them and put them into effect. The Bible has the many good things about how to live good and right, and that's what we want to do. Understand the lessons and apply them. There are things that will get our attention, and being injured can be one of them. And I think of back when I had my accident and I saw the blood leaving my body, and you just understand that when there is a crisis, you get closer to God because you know you could be seeing Him very soon. You can have a death that would happen quickly. That's what happened in my accident. And I know there's lots of people who are having serious issues in their life right now, as the natural disasters are in quite a few places. So we think about life, we think about death, And we think about how important it is to have that relation with Jesus Christ, who loves us so very much, and we love him. And a part of that love is to obey Jesus. And that's a part of the gospel too. Where in John, I don't remember the passage right now, but in John it tells about those who love Jesus will obey Jesus. So we have these things going on with the blessings of life and the troubles in life, and troubles. Now that reminds me of another one, John 5:14, where Jesus says about a man, there was a man with an infirmity for 38 years, and then Jesus tells him to sin no more, or something worse might come upon you. So that's a part of what we think too. We think about things being better or worse. We think about our eternity being in heaven or hell. And that's a part of what we preach to others about also. We want people to go to heaven and not hell. And so that's a part of what we can do in our life, is to tell people about Jesus. And we profess our faith in Jesus. Now, we're not judging people. That's not for us to do. But Jesus is the judge, and he said that after death comes the judgment. And that's something that we all get to be aware of, so that we can live a life that is holy and acceptable to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, and amen, because we want to be worthy of going to heaven. And it's not our worthiness, it is the worthiness that we have when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We accept him over our life, and so we make choices that are holy choices that Jesus tells us about, so that we can live holy and profess the love of God to our neighbors. That's kind of like the gospel. Yeah, Mark it tells us about that, 15:16. So we do want to prepare for the things that are in front of us, and you don't know and I don't know what it'll be, but we know there are things we're going to need to preserve our own life so that we can preach the gospel to others. Speak the gospel to the people you know, the people you love, the people you don't know and don't love. Speaking the gospel will make the world a better place when people love each other. So there are things that are going to go on around us, and we want to prepare for the difficulties. Food, sure. Water, food, and warmth. What about gasoline for your car? What about flashlights and batteries? And there are things everywhere. We can never be completely ready. No one can be. But we can have a few things that we can help other people to have and to do right. So life happens. And that's just the way it is. As we go through life, we find there are troubles. We find there are bridges closed, roads closed, electrical lights and electrical lines that don't work. There is a highway closed, or like I said, the bridge going out, or the water rising. All these things happen, and we get to try to understand how we can help other people as we go through life. Yes, we help our neighbor. Yes, that's a matter of loving Jesus and loving our neighbor. It's in the Bible, and we have this spiritual battle going on to determine if the souls of our friends and relatives, or even our enemies, are going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And it makes the world a better place if we have people who want to live according to Jesus Christ and the Bible. So we are going to tell people about the Bible, the good news of Jesus Christ, and we are going to pursue Jesus Christ. Sometimes it will be diligently, and sometimes it will be gently, but we are going to pursue Jesus in our own life and encourage other people to pursue the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And apparently there are testimonies, not apparently, because you listen to them. You can hear so many people testify about who God is or what their experience of heaven and hell are and how that affected their lives. Now, I remember somebody sent me this tape by Howard Pittman. It was called The Fourth Beast by Howard Pittman. It tells about what happened in his life. And I guess you know that made an impression on me. And I talked about it once before, but I'll do it again a little bit. He talked about his experience of meeting Jesus and how he found out that he was really a person who was following his own self. And even though he declared Jesus, he was not following Jesus. And he was not allowed into heaven, but he did go up to the gates, and he said he saw people enter. And he realized when he got back into his body how many people had died during the 15 minutes that he was in heaven and on the operating table. And by his math, he found out that 97.5% of the people alive today will not make it into heaven. And so we get to encourage people to do what it will take to get into heaven and not hell. And that's the part of the good news of the Bible. And we want to follow our faith in Jesus Christ. And we get understanding of God by reading the Bible. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. And we get to learn about what God wants from us, and we get to be faithful as we go through life. Now, I do talk to pastors, I hear pastors, and they talk about how easy it is to get into heaven. All you do is you believe, and you're going to heaven. Well, maybe that's true. I'm not the judge, but I think of heaven having a narrow path. That's what Matthew 7:13 says. And there being a wide highway to destruction, which is that hell place. So I think that it is very good for us to read the Bible and understand the Bible and trust the Bible. Now, I also find it to be very important to pray before and after I read the Bible, or as we are talking to someone or trying to understand something about God. It is good to say a little prayer. I say that plenty of times. Lord, guide me. And that is a prayer. It's a short and quick prayer, but it certainly is me asking for help from God. So that's something we can all do, is have that quick little prayer as we go throughout the day and have a situation in front of us. Lord, guide me. And we do trust the Bible. I listen to pastors, I listen to men, but I trust God's Bible in my eternal destiny. And so I think that we all can seek out understanding from the Bible. And Jesus is going to judge our eternal destiny, but we can know what he tells us about judgment and about heaven and hell and about our eternal destiny. And that's a matter of study. We get to study and learn more and live a life that we want to understand is pleasing to God. After all, there's many things in this world that are good and distractions, and we want to keep our focus on God. There's also troubles in this world, and we do want to prepare for troubled times. We want to be compassionate to other people around us. We want to live a little bit longer. You know why? To speak the good news of the gospel to other people. That's Mark 16:15. speak the good news of the gospel to others. Show your love of God and show godly love to your neighbors. That's Matthew 22:38. And we seek to know God and have that personal relation with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm so glad that you listened today. God bless you. And you can listen to other broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. And there are a couple of Christ Todays, so look for the one that says with John Stephenson. And you can also get my preparedness papers by sending me a stamped, self-addressed envelope, and I'll send that right back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. God bless you.